from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, top of the hour. It is now a Sunday afternoon on Sports Radio 99 The Game. John Fricke at the Northern Kia Studios with you. Our phone number, 404-726-0929. The big stories today, big game for the Braves, the rubber game. Litterman sent me something that said that the rubber game came from a tennis, old tennis term about how they used a rubber ball to whatever. Final game of a three-game set against the Yankees today. It is an afternoon affair with Max Fried on the mound. See if the Braves can win this series against New York after a less-than-stellar showing yesterday where they were walking a lot of Yanks. And hopefully they get back on track here. Atlanta United, 1-1 draw last night in St. Louis. 4 points on the road trip, head back home, kind of regroup, and this season's going to be what this season is. But responding so far to Rob Valentino in a positive way. That's a good thing. U.S. men's national team playing tonight, opening Copa play, 6 o'clock tonight against Bolivia. They're playing in Jerry Dome in Arlington. They're going to be here Thursday against Panama. Mercedes-Benz Stadium going to be rocking with the U.S. men's national team. A lot expected here. Now, obviously, we're going to talk about the grass, and that's one thing. We'll see how the grass is on Thursday night. Hopefully, it's better. But for the U.S. men's national team, as they open up Copa play, understand, for Greg Berhalter and this team, they've got to advance. Forget about getting past the group stage. That ought to be a given. They've got to advance. They've got to find a way to get past the opening round of the knockout, which is probably either going to be Brazil or Colombia. They've got to start to show that U.S. soccer, which is ranked somewhere around 12 in the world, could take a big step up and start to actually push harder into the top 10 and towards the top 5 in the world. Men's soccer. I mean, women's soccer have been there forever. But for men's soccer, so this is going to be kind of a leading indicator going into, I don't worry about the Olympics with soccer, going into the World Cup, because guess where the World Cup is going to be? Yeah, it's right here. This will be an interesting Copa for the U.S. men's national team. Also have a huge, biggest WNBA game in history in some senses when Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark tee it up in Chicago tonight, because the get-in price is like ridiculous. The average ticket price is like over $350 to get into this game. All right, we'll see what kind of storylines come out of that. I did like that Caitlin Clark said, yeah, there's no rivalry between me and Angel. Yeah, she said that. I know. You're like, huh? Okay. You say so, I guess. Can Texas A&M knock Tennessee out today in the College World Series and win the college baseball crown in Omaha? Tennessee's got to win. They got to win today. So we'll find out how this is going to play out for these two teams as they wrap up the College World Series. And either A&M or the Tennessee Vols are going to be the champions. It's the SEC anyway. How about that? College World Series was all ACC and SEC. It's like, I understand that it's the Big Ten is at a disadvantage because of weather and things like that, and baseball in the South is, you know, I mean, it's just better. I get it. But the West Coast used to be dominant. Arizona State and USC, I mean, Long Beach State, Cal State Fullerton. I mean, there were a lot of great teams out there in the West Coast. Where are you guys? Man, you guys have, like, disappeared from a baseball scene. What's with you? It beats me. But they're not here. They're not there. Well, whatever. So we've been talking about all of that, and you can weigh in on the Hawks. We are 3 days away from the NBA draft. It is the first day of the week, Wednesday night, NBA draft live on Sports Radio 92.9 The K. A game coverage with Mike Connie Wednesday evening, number one pick. All signs are pointing to the Hawks keeping the pick and taking Zachary Risacher. They could take Klingon. They could take Sarr. Keep Sarr, trade him. I don't know how that's all going to work out. And they've got to win in all three phases. The next 10 days could be, well, no, I'm just, the next 10 days are the biggest 10 days maybe in the history of the Hawks. And that's not an understatement, because you have an opportunity in the next 10 days with a major trade, with the number one pick, and with free agency to reshape a franchise, to bring in at least three new starters. And I say at least because, look, everybody's got to be available when we're talking about major trades here. So at least three new starters and fortify that bench and take this team from the stuck-in-the-mud bunch of crap that it's been over the last couple of years to a real contender. But you've got to do it. And you got to do it now. And I started the show by saying, look, I think that a major trade could happen before the draft on Wednesday, if for no other reason that if you make a major trade, and I know that there's a lot of rumors out there about trades, if you make a major trade, that will set up the draft, and then you get one starter in the major trade, you get another starter in the draft, and then if you look at Trey, let's say you got Trey and Jalen and Risacher, and we'll just go with one of the trades, Brandon Ingram, okay? So now if you're a free agent out there and you're looking at the lineup of the Hawks with Quinn Snyder, and Quinn's talking to you about coming to Atlanta, having Risacher is one thing. Having Risacher and somebody of quality alongside Trey and Jalen, having four guys, you're now looking at that team and go, okay, they've got something working there. It's an enticement and an inducement to free agency that they have to win too. So I think they need to make the trade, whether they do so before the draft or the day after the draft on Thursday morning. They've got to make a trade to help them bolster their opportunity to go into free agency to get a guy, because while it's about money, it's also not just about money. Guys do want to win. And so you've got to give them another reason to win. Come join a winning team. Come join a winning team in Atlanta. So, I mean, that's another thing you have to do here. And that will require two things. Being able to sell the free agent on joining a winning team, and for Tony Russell to go, okay, I'm willing to spend the money now, which he ought be willing to do. Just a saying. 404-726-0929. We're also talking about the Falcons. ESPN, no friend of the Falcons, no friend of Atlanta, no friend of you and me. ESPN has ranked all the units for the Falcons this week. On offense, they ranked the running backs as third best in the NFL. I could argue they're second best, but we'll see. I mean, we're quibbling here. Offensive line, fourth best in the NFL, number four. Tight ends, number 12. Quarterback room, number 13. Wide receiver, number 24. And that's fair. I mean, production-wise, just based on production, yeah, okay. I mean, yes, Darnell Mooney and Drake London have had to deal with, you know, Justin Fields, noodle arm quitter, DoorDash Dez. So we'll see what kind of numbers they can put up when they get a real quarterback in there or two. All right, so now the defensive rankings here. This is ESPN's group rankings, all five for the defense. And I like the coaching staff of the defense. I think that Dean Pease did a great job. I think Ryan Nielsen did a great job. And they wanted to keep Ryan Nielsen, as you know. They didn't fire him when they fired Arthur Smith. But when they hired Raheem said, I got my own guy. I got my own guys. And the Falcons said, well, we really like Jerry Gray. Oh, Jerry Gray's my guy. He can stay here too. So Jerry Gray's going to have a big impact on this defense as the assistant head coach. But Jimmy Lake's the defensive coordinator. And then you've got, you know, a lot of, you know, Dave Huxtable's part of the staff, and Barrett Rood's going to be at linebackers, and you know Justin Hood's doing the secondary, and Jay Rogers got the defensive line. So the coaching staff has got a lot of experience, is my point. I mean, Barrett Rood's the linebackers coach, had a lot of success, obviously, as a linebacker with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So we'll see what this coaching staff can do in terms of producing from a defense that isn't quite as high rated as the offense. Now, having said that, there is a top five unit in the NFL on defense, according to ESPN, because I've been telling you they are. And that is the defensive line. That's right. Because you got Grady Jarrett and David Onyemata. Now you have Ruka Roro. You have Brandon Dorlus. You have Eddie Goldman. You have, you know, I mean, a whole bunch of guys in there. You know, there's a whole slew of guys in there. A lot of them are really good. So now you have a top, according to ESPN, top four offensive line, top four defensive line. Forget about everything else for a second. And where is football to this day won? And no matter whether you were in the 1970s running the wishbone, if you were running a pistol offense, a veer offense, if you're running a pro-style offense, if you're under center, if you're running shotgun, where is football won and lost? Oh, that's right, at the point of attack, which is where? The ball. Who's on the ball? Who's on either side of the ball? If your offensive and defensive lines are good, you're going to win a lot of games. The Falcons are top four, according to ESPN, in both. That alone should tell you that they're going to be pretty – as long as you have a competent – oh, they do have a competent quarterback now. So they rank the defensive line fourth. They rank the linebackers 19th. I've asked a little bit of a question about whether or not they ought to get go into free agency, get another linebacker. And you got Caden Ellis. Obviously, you got Lamon. You got Troy Anderson coming back. So it'll be interesting to see how they are with that. The safeties are 16th. Primarily because you have one of the best safeties in the NFL, right? That's how big a deal Jesse Bates is. Just really, really, really good. We all know that. We found that out. We talked to you about it, and then you saw that opening game last year, and you went, okay, this dude's really good. Now, can DeMarco Helms or Richie Grant be that other guy alongside him? Do they have to go get help there? The cornerbacks are ranked 28th. And that's... I'm not quibbling. I'm saying, boy, that's disappointing considering that you have a corner the quality of A.J. Terrell. To only be 28th says you have a great corner, a potential Pro Bowl corner, or a Pro Bowl corner in A.J. Terrell, and you got nothing else. And so, are they looking at Clark Phillips to take a huge leap in year two? Are they looking at the veterans like Alford or Hughes or Hamilton to be able to fill those roles? What do you do about nickel? This is why everybody's saying, okay, we got to go in and get another corner here, a veteran corner. And there are veteran corners available. The Falcons kind of waiting them out here because they're a little pricey. And the Falcons really don't have that kind of cash, but they may have to make a move there. And there's one I do kind of quibble with a little bit, and that's edge. So defensive line, ESPN says number four. Safety number 16, linebacker number 19, and 16 and 19 middle of the pack. Corners 28. That's a little bit of a edge. They rank the Falcons dead last in the NFL at 32. Dead last. Now, here's where I might quibble just a little bit. I'm not saying they shouldn't be top five or anything like that. I'm saying I'm not sure that the Falcons, again, this is the Falcons looking at it. This is Jerry Gray and Jimmy Lake. The Falcons looking at this position, okay? It's, Jay Rogers is kind of over the defensive line. It's these guys that are looking at it saying, it's not a zero-sum game with Zach Harrison. We project Zach Harrison as an 8 to 10 sack guy. We think Braylon Trice is every bit as good and project him everybody as Latu or anybody else that came out in the draft, right? We thought we had a first-round grade on him. We had a first-round grade on Roque, because Roque was, that's why we traded up for him. It's not a zero-sum game with Arnold Ebukadi, he wasn't great, but he was better last year. There's nobody arguing that he was better last year. Is he even better this year? So if Trice is really good and first-round quality at edge, and Zach Harrison and Ebukadi are both going to take big steps up, and you still have a veteran like Lo Carter out there to certainly help, and of course you can get pass rush from a guy like Caden Ellis, maybe the Falcons are looking at their edge and going, hey, you know what? We think we're okay. I think sometimes what happens is some of these, they're not 32nd, is my point. sometimes what happens in these rankings is that they look at production lost. And they go, well, you lost Calais Campbell. You lost, you know, Bud Dupree. They'll go, this many sacks. They'll go, as if those sacks wouldn't be gobbled up by somebody else. As if those snaps wouldn't be taken by somebody else. And you get the same number of sacks. And by the way, the Falcons sack numbers doubled last year. They had 42 sacks. They were 22nd in the NFL in sacks. And for all of you who think that is the primary stat that's got to increase this year for the Falcons to have success, I respectfully disagree. The primary stat for success that the Falcons have to increase is touchdowns. Okay, touchdowns. Because if you increase touchdowns, then if you go into the fourth quarter and you're up by 10 points in multiple games, what naturally happens? What do you force? Let me just ask. Dom, are you in now? Oh, it's still you, Eric. Sorry, I got rotating producers out here. So, Eric Slaughter, let me ask you. If you're up by 10 points in the fourth quarter, what does the other team have to do?
Chuck the ball. Chuck that ball around
the
field.
Oh, they got to pass. Yeah. When they pass, does that give you an opportunity for more what?
Sacks.
Pressures, oh, you mean the sack numbers might go up.
Hits on the QB.
Oh, I got you. See, one begets the other. Everybody says, "Well, the edge is like, you know, a hip bone is connected to the thigh bone, right?" Or you could sing "Drinking Bone" by Tracy Byrd if you're a country fan. But it's the edge is connected to the secondary. That's true, but the edge is connected to the offense as well. Do you force the other team to be one dimensional and sack rates go up because they're chasing, right? Anyway, what do you make of all this? How do you view this? What is your expectation for this defense this season under Jimmy Lake as what you saw with Ryan Nielsen and Dean Pease? 404-726-0929. You can also weigh in on the offense. I have questions for you about both on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I used to have this argument with one of my former producers who was a big Doobies fan, but he was a Michael McDonald Doobies fan. And Michael McDonald's fine. To me, I was a Tom Johnson Doobies fan. If you're old school, you know the difference, okay? And just, I was Tom Johnson over Michael McDonald. Anyway, it depends on where you kind of fall in that, I guess. 404-726-0929. Let's talk a little bit about how ESPN kind of views the Falcons, because I think the big takeaway here, okay, is that ESPN is saying to us everything. I think they see the team the same way we do, okay? Which is unusual, because normally I think all of us see the team in one way, and ESPN writes, you know, blank posts. You know what I mean? But I think ESPN is being kind of fair in their analysis here. Though one of the questions I have is, are we really that bad on the edge? Because if you're 32nd on the edge, that says we need to go out and get two guys. Did we do such a bad job of addressing the edge? Is it so zero sum? Because should we have high expectations of Zach Harrison? Should we have high expectations of the growth in year three of Arnold Ebiketie? Should we put our faith in Braylon Trice is going to come out here and be everything that a first-round pick at that position ought to be? 404-726-0929, and then everything else kind of falling in here, because edge and corner are the two areas of that defense that apparently, according to ESPN, and all of you need some addressing here in the next month before camp begins, and Falcons ought to go, Terry Fontenot ought to go make that happen. And by the way, I think he still will, okay? Let's go to Jason. Hey, Jason, welcome to the show.
Hey, John, how you doing today?
Good, man.
Hey, one quick thing on the Falcons. I don't understand why all the Falcons fans who are supposed to be rooting and pulling for this team are so down on them. They are going to be so much better this year because they have a quarterback who can actually deliver the ball. He doesn't have to put up Patrick Mahomes numbers. He just has to be good. He doesn't have to be a world beater or be great. He just has to be good and accurate, and that's what he is. Kyle Pitts is not going to know how to act when he turns around off of a hook route and the ball is right there in his face. Drake London is not going to know how to act when he's running down the sideline and looks up and the ball is right there hitting him in stride. These guys have never had that. Well, Pitts had it with Ryan, but he hasn't had it since. These guys are going to surprise a lot of people this year. I really believe that. And, I don't understand why all of the Falcons fans that call in are so down on them. I don't get it.
All right, so there are four questions here. And I guess, you're just going to have to, Jason, I am the keeper of the Kool-Aid and the driver of the bandwagon. And so, this team's, Vegas is saying they're the heavy favorite to win the NFC South. And I was kind of all there. And suddenly out comes the head coach with Super Bowl. And I'm like, oh, okay. And the wide receiver coach, who's no less than a guy of the background and nature and understanding of, of Ike Hilliard, who comes out and says, hey, basically Ike Hilliard comes out and goes, oh, yeah, we're going to be good. And yet they rate the wide receivers as the lowest, 24th in the NFL. And I think Ike's like looking at that going, yeah, okay, sure. So let me ask you the four big questions, Jason, based on these rankings. We begin with the offense. Will they take a huge leap from 26th in the league in scoring at 18.9 points per game to top three at 28.9 points per game?
I absolutely believe they will.
Who's the biggest breakout with the new quarterbacks? Will it be Drake, Bijan, Kyle, Mooney? One guy said Tyler Algier. Who's going to be the biggest breakout on offense?
It's really all three. All the big three are going to benefit. Bijan.
I understand that, but I'm asking you to pick one.
I'm going to go with Pitts.
Okay, most people said Pitts. I said Bijan. Just for the record, Ike Hilliard seems to think it's going to be Drake London. That Drake London is going to go next level as a wide receiver in the NFL. Both good and bad. Which, by the way, is both good and bad, because it's good because we need him to do that. What's bad about it is if you start thinking and projecting out these wide receivers, do you see the cash these wide receivers getting? Next to quarterbacks, the highest paid player in the NFL, now wide receivers. Yeah, I mean, these wide receivers are getting paid. On defense, can the current secondary be decent? They say 16th, ESPN says 16th for safeties, 28th for corners. I'm not asking for great. Can they be decent?
They can be decent, absolutely. They don't have to be locked down. They just have to be okay.
And will the pass rush be better with an addition to it on edge?
Yes, they will. They added a lot to the defensive line, to the interior. That's great, but I think they need one more guy on to come off the edge.
Yep, well, we'll see what they do here. Again, 1 month till training camp from tomorrow, 1 month from tomorrow. It's June 23rd, and training camp starts July 24th for both rookies and veterans in Flowery Branch. Thank you, Jason. Hey, I should remind you, too, again, that there will be no fans allowed at training camp this year because of the ongoing construction. The site that they built up at Flowery Branch, they keep building onto it across from Flowery Branch High School there. It's just it's turning into bigger and bigger and bigger. And so since there's so much construction going on, no fans are allowed in the construction zone there. As a result, they're going to hold two open practices. One will be at Mercedes-Benz Stadium and the other at I'm so sorry for all you folks. What's the name of the high school? I had it written down one time. I had never heard of it before. Seconger, is that right? Does that sound right? Seconger High? Okay, cool. Whew. Whew. All right, good. 404-726-0929. Eric, why don't you answer these four questions I have? I've given you the position rankings. I'll go over them again here. Huge leap for the offense, 18.9 points per game at 26 to top three and 28.9. That's a 10-point-a-game raise.
I agree with one of the callers. You can give me a touchdown more, get me to 25 and 26, and I'd be happy. That 10 points, I mean, I don't know what it is. 10 points is a big number in the NFL. So I see them get into the 25 to 26 range, and I can deal with that. I can live with that. One more touchdown. If you take that into this game and go into the fourth quarter with that touchdown lead, that's where your sacks will come.
Yeah, I think it's 10. I think you get one more touchdown and you convert one of those field goals in the red zone into a touchdown, and there's your 10. Bigger breakout with the new quarterbacks, Drake, Bijan, Kyle, Mooney, Tyler Algier. Who's going to be the big breakout guy?
Well, it's Kyle. It's the return of Kyle, because Drake, even though he did not have the 1,000-yard numbers, as he's been very, very adamant that he's upset about, he still had great numbers, 800, 900 yards first 2 years, decent touchdowns. He's going to improve on it, but that's not breakout. Kyle, return of the Kyle is the breakout year.
Will the current secondary, as ranked by ESPN as safeties at 16 and cornerbacks at 28, will they be decent?
Yes, decent. Not good, not great, but decent.
Pass rush, need another name, another player in addition to be really good? Or are you okay because they rank it dead last in the NFL?
Well, I think it's ranked dead last because of past performance, but I agree with you. Score points, sacks will come, so they'll be better than expected. And I think that Zach Harrison is the real gem. Him and Braylon Trice could be the future of this Falcons pass rush. They are the future of this Falcons pass rush.
Yeah, that's kind of how I think that Jimmy Lake is looking at it, too. I think he's looking at it and saying, look, I understand why they would rank us 32nd. You lost Calais Campbell. You lose Bud Dupree. We don't exactly have a stellar history here, since 2016 of having a great pass rush, though they were far better last year. They were 22nd in the NFL at 42 sacks. But, again, they were also in a situation where, teams weren't exactly having to throw against them a lot in the fourth quarter to come from behind because they were never really ahead that much.
Nope.
If they were ahead, it was 3 points, so they weren't forcing teams to pass the ball. And just by nature, if you do get up, if you're ahead, 27 to 17 with 7 minutes to go in the game, the other team you're not running the ball. You got to start throwing it. Yep. I mean, so but sacks will come here. And again, it does baffle me a little bit that some people think that sacks are the be-all, end-all stat to raise. Again, the be-all, end-all stat to raise is
points.
Touchdowns.
That's right. Points. Points.
You score more touchdowns, okay? Yeah. Everybody's worried about sacks. I'm like, the sack numbers have to go up. Yeah, okay. The touchdown numbers got to go up. That's what's got to go up. You got to get 20 more touchdowns than you did last year. Let's see 20 more touchdowns. I want 20 more sacks. I want 20 more touchdowns. I tell you what, I'll spot you 20 more sacks. Okay, you spot me 20 more touchdowns. which one of us gets more wins based on our staff? Oh, I do.
Yeah. Well, you know, another thing, John, and I've said this for many years, a lot of sacks are empty sacks. There's never an empty touchdown. And what I mean by empty sack is, okay, it's 2nd and 7. We drop back. We get a sack. Now it's 3rd and 13. And guess what? They convert on 3rd down. That's an empty sack. That sack meant nothing. It did not change anything in that drive or the game. You score a touchdown at any point, nothing empty about it.
404-726-0929. So we got all this stuff from ESPN on the Falcons position rankings and those four questions that are thrown out to you. We also have a discussion now. It is the first day of the week. We are now 3 days away from the NBA draft here. It is Wednesday night, and we are looking at the Hawks holding the number one pick. Over the next 10 days, the Hawks can make or break their franchise if they do nothing but draft a Zachary Risichet and then softly into free agency, go get a piece for the bench and end up 10th again next year. This will be a grand fail. A grand fail. Because not only will it be a fail from the lack of being able to improve the team, but also because they've never had this golden opportunity they've been given. You've been given the golden ticket here. You're like, in the Willy Wonka factory here. Go wild here. Eat all the chocolate you want, okay? I mean, because you are at a point where in the next 10 days you can reshape a franchise. It can make or break a career of a Landry Fields. And, for Tony Ruessler, I take the man at his word. He came in and said, I'm going to rebuild, Phillips Arena into State Farm Arena. I'm going to make it more fan-friendly. I'm going to make it fit our culture and our team and the vibe. I'm going to rebuild the practice facility, one of the nicest in the entire world. I'm going to rebuild the medical facilities with Emory, one of the nicest in the world. I'm going to rebuild our G League team, move them to College Park, a great facility down there. And now the two-way is simply a drive from the airport to downtown. And I'm going to now have to rebuild he rebuilt the front office. He rebuilt the scouting department. Now he's got to rebuild the coaching staff. Now he's got to rebuild the roster. It's the last piece of the puzzle. It's also the most important piece of the puzzle. But now is not the time for equivocation. It's not the time for fear. It's the time to push all in. You're playing poker. Okay, we're at the final table. And somebody just put, you've got to call and raise now. You can't simply call. No, you got to raise. Check raise if you have to, but raise. But it is time to push these chips into the middle of the table and say, let's go. And if you bust out, you bust out. But at least you tried. If you got unlucky, okay, you got unlucky. 4 on the river. Oh, who knew? On Sports Radio 92 on the game. All right, let's talk a little bit about the Falcons and the Hawks here on this warm, warm, hot Sunday afternoon. From the Northern Kia Studios, John Fricke with you. We are a month tomorrow from the Falcons training camp. This week, boy, man of mercy, what a time it's been for the city of Atlanta, huh? Messi last Thursday, you had Caitlin Clark on Friday. You have, the U.S. men's national team coming in for Copa on Thursday. The Hawks draft number one on Wednesday. Again, live coverage of the Hawks draft on Sports Radio 92 on the game Wednesday night, Mike Conley hosting. We'll see what they do with the number one pick. So let's just kind of, break that down too, because this is our last chance, you and I, between now and 2, to talk about it before the pick comes here. I think the Hawks will make a huge trade between now and Wednesday, okay? I think the Hawks will make a big trade between now and the draft on Wednesday. And the reason I think so is because they have to win all three, right? The trade, they know this. I'm not saying anything that they're not fully aware of. They have to win the trade. They have to win the draft. Then they have to win in free agency by getting a quality player, most likely a potential starter, if not a really quality guy on the bench, but certainly maybe a starter in free agency, right? Okay, so, if you make a trade, then you have an idea. Did you solve a problem with that trade that in any way alters your choices? In other words, do you make a trade that you get a wing out of that kind of fits where Zachary Risacher would be, and you go, well, you know what? You know, the Crypt Keeper goes up there and goes, with the number one pick in the NBA draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Donovan Clingan, center, UConn. I mean, is that out of the question? No, it's not out of the question. If you make a trade, and you trade DeJounte and Clint to somebody, and you get a wing that runs opposite, that can start opposite Jalen, and you have Trey, you're like, okay, well, do we really need to double up at that spot with Risacher? Unless you are absolutely convinced, 100 down the line, that 2 to 3 years from now, Zachary Risacher is going to grow into a superstar in the NBA. And he may. You may be looking at him and saying, look, this guy, you know, you can see the young players that are coming up that are going to turn into superstars, right? I mean, we can all see that, right? They start to develop, and you go, okay, that guy's going to be a star. Well, you saw it with SGA. You see it now with Anthony Edwards. All right, so Ant-Man's going to be a star. All right, so they're the next wave, right? And so if you look at him and think, yes, he's going to be in that next wave after this, then you can't afford to pass him up. But the other reason you have to make a trade is not because it might alter who you take at number one, but also because it might alter your ability to attract a free agent by convincing them that you now have four pieces to a puzzle that they are the fifth piece from, because money should never be an issue here. You know, Tony Ressler has said, I will pay and go into the luxury tax when it's time. It's time. And so it's not a money issue. He has to go into the luxury tax. He's got to get the best guy out there. And if he can get his hands on him, that's the final piece to the puzzle of taking this team from 10 to 3, to 10 to contender, to 10 to legit. You cannot let the Orlando Magic continue to outplay you. It's Orlando. It's Mickey Mouse World. You're Atlanta. Okay? You can't allow Charlotte, no offense, Charlotte, you're a wonderful town. I get that. It's a nice city. You're Charlotte. We're Atlanta, okay? We are the big walkin' talkin', okay? We are the big town. We're the big city. We are the big city of the South. We are the New York of the South, the LA of the South. We are the, this is it. You have to act and walk and talk and act like you are. Certain franchises do, the Atlanta Braves do, right? They walk and talk and act like they are the king of the South. The Atlanta Hawks have to walk into, they can't be swimming in the waters of the Charlotte Hornets and the Orlando Magic, the Memphis Grizzlies. No. No. The New Orleans Pelicans, no. These towns are not worthy of you. NFL's a different animal, okay? The NFL, because of its hard salary cap and the way the league is structured, you can't be, it doesn't matter. Look at how bad the bloody New York Giants and Jets have been for so long, right? I mean, it's just, the NFL is a different animal. You have to kind of massage it and work around it. You got to get a little bit lucky. You got to get the right coach and the right scheme, and the things have to fit. You have to run it really, it's an operational thing. Less so in other sports that have a soft cap or, you know, basically no cap, as in the case of baseball. I mean, essentially no cap. But in basketball, it's a soft cap. Yeah, you have to pay a lot. Okay, I get that. So what? Tony Russell's worth what? $8 billion? More? $10 billion? Dude, so if you blew $1 billion, would you notice it? I'm seriously, if you blew $1 billion, would you notice it? The answer is probably not. You probably still got the plane. You still got the hottie wife who's actually pretty smart, you know? You know, the actress wife. I mean, and she's, you know, a brainiac too. Matter of fact, I almost lean on her a little bit more than to him. I think Jamie's got it going. So, Jamie, I didn't mean that in any disrespect. You just happen to be attractive. That's all. And I'm a guy. But, you know, if Jamie can convince Tony, hey, look, hey, time, you know, guys, let's go here. It's go time for the Atlanta Hawks. It is absolute green lights across the board. It's like sitting in the NASA control room before launch, you know.
Check, go, go.
Yeah, everything is go for launch, okay? There's no stand down, there's no stop down. It's, you know, and the launch countdown is on right now. And so you got to go. There's never been a better opportunity in the history of this franchise. Now, they've never won an NBA title. They've only been to the Eastern Conference Finals a couple, three times. I get that in the history of the Atlanta Hawks, not talking about St. Louis. But they've been to the playoffs an awful lot. Now, it's not that hard to get it to the NBA playoffs. I understand that. But we went through all those years, remember, because in different periods of time, during the franchise. The Dominique years, we just kept running up, you know, that damn Game 7 against Larry Bird, where it was the mano a mano in the fourth quarter. If you've never seen, by the way, if you're a Hawks historian, you should almost YouTube that. Dominique versus Larry Bird, Game 7 NBA Finals, Bird versus Neek. Those two went at it. I don't know, Bird might have had 20 in the quarter and Neek 19 or something like that. Those two, it was a mano a mano game. And boy, if we had just come out on top of that thing, man, life would have been different for us because that team would have won a ring. But we didn't. And then, of course, the 60-win team ran up against LeBron, okay, at his height. All right, yeah, that was our luck. It was always our luck, right? But we had all those years with, you know, with the Josh Smith years, we'll call them, where there were 50 wins. There were a lot of 50-win teams. I mean, Mike Woodson, you know, had a couple of really bad team, obviously, when he inherited it, but he turned it into a pretty good team. And so, you know, a lot of 50-win seasons. But that was like they couldn't break through the threshold, right? So here's your opportunity to not only get back to that 50-win level, but to bust through the threshold. And what it's going to take is a commitment from everybody in the organization, top to bottom, from the players to the coaches to the owner, to commit to all this, which is going to take both savvy and money. And they've got to do it now because this is the golden opportunity. Again, all lights green go. And if you don't do it now, and we're sitting here 2 weeks from now, and we go through another season of this, all I got for you is I'm going to be doing Hawks pre- and post-game shows, and I'm going to be saying stuff like, welp, and I don't want to say, welp, come on, help a guy out here. Help a brother out. Don't have the guy that's going to be out there going, welp. I want to hear Steve Holman say, bang. You know, I want to see that, okay? I don't want, welp, you know, I don't. I want to be going, oh, my God, how about this? You know, 404-726-0929 is the phone number. When was the last time you cheered for the – really, I mean, outright cheered for the Hawks. I mean, outright just went crazy. Well, of course, it was Trae Young, right? It was that dude bowing at center court at Madison Square Garden. It was that dude going into Game 7 with Kevin Herter. We can talk all we want about the DeJounte trade. That Kevin Herter trade – yeah, how'd that work out for us? Yeah, okay. I think that one might have been more damaging. So anyway, that was the last time, right? And then all the way to stepping on the foot in Milwaukee, right? Because you remember early in the series, remember Giannis went down hard and he had the knee thing, and I was like, oh, that, you know, that sucks. And then I thought, well, do I really want to win if he's injured? And that yeah, okay, I do, because we've had enough of it on our head where we lost because we say, okay, fine. But then he got back, you know? And even when he came back and was okay, and they were like, oh, thank God he's okay up in Milwaukee, you know, still probably could have won the series. And I am convinced, now this is just me being the bandwagon driver and the Kool-Aid boy, that if the Hawks had won that series against Milwaukee, they would have beaten Phoenix. And they would have been NBA world champions. And we wouldn't be sitting around here having all these people grovel in their breakfast cereal every Saturday and Sunday morning talking to me about how Trae Young is no good because he'd have a ring. It's like the people who say, you know, Snicker, I don't care that he has a ring. Oh, okay. Isn't that the whole point of this thing? Is that you're supposed to, okay, isn't that what we hear from Swampers? Yeah, it doesn't matter. We got a ring, and we're supposed to go, yeah. And then our people will say stuff like, yeah, we can't say nothing, they got a ring. But when we win a ring, oh, we can't say nothing even though we got a ring. I love all y'all. All right, so I'm looking at trend lines here. The trend lines on the Braves are ticking slightly up, which is a good thing. And knowing what Alex Anthopoulos does with his magic, and again, final game against the Yankees ahead of, again, this is going to be a weird week for the Braves. The trend line is, but it's not rocketing up. It's just slightly up. And we'll see what happens as we move forward here. Does it get it? Because there's still, I mean, did you see the bottom of the batting order? Go look yesterday if you didn't see it. And this is no offense to Laureano or Forrest Wall, but when you're playing those guys, it's like, come on. Now, understanding that I can't get mad at Alex Anthopoulos, there are a lot of buyers out there, and the teams that do have pieces that they want to sell are demanding premium money. And so you're trying to play a little waiting game and wait through this before you strike. And the trade deadline's not for two more months because it's a long season. It's just They are going to have to find, and I know they will. They'll find a guy. Somebody said, well, what about, you know, going out and getting Jock back here? Okay, I really like Jock Peterson. He's having a fine year in Arizona. If that's who they want to get, sure, bring him back. I don't know that I'm putting a name on it. I'm saying I want a right fielder that can be that guy, you know, that's all. And I want to platoon Duvall and Kelnick in left. That's what I would like to do. But in order to do that, you have to be able to get him at the right price here, because everybody's talking about a fifth starter here. Well, what about Hurston Waldrop? What about Spencer Schwalbach? Because the one thing you don't want to do is make the mistake of trading for a guy just because you're in, you know, desiring something that's kind of down line. You know, I mean, the Tigers desperately wanted Doyle Alexander from the Braves back in the day, and Doyle was still a really, really good pitcher and really good starter. And the Braves said, well, okay, but we really covered this one guy you have in the minors. And the Tigers said, okay, because we really want Doyle. So they got Doyle, and Doyle was effective for the Tigers for a year or two, and all the Braves got was a Hall of Famer. Okay? They just got John Smoltz. That's all. So you got to be careful you're not giving up more than you're getting back, right? I mean, you never want to do that. So as a result, you know, Alex has got to play the game. It's just frustrating to have to go through. But the Braves trend line's up a little bit. I think the Falcons trend line is up, and in Flowery Branch, it's up higher than even I have. But I think it's up, and I think it's pushing even higher and higher as we get towards the season. I think the trend line continues to rise for the Atlanta Falcons. Trend line for the Atlanta Hawks is flat, okay, because they haven't done anything yet. We'll see what they do. But right now it's flat. It could trend up. It could trend way up. Or there's a possibility that in 10 days it could trend down. And it trends down by not being able to make a trade. And all you do is just say, okay, we'll take the number one pick in a soft draft and call it good. Yeah, that's going to be a downtrend. Because you know what, guys? You can't waste this opportunity, right? You cannot do that. So Hawks flat, Falcons up to starting to really, really rise up. My brain went to the whole thing, this whole thing about we need a new catchphrase for the Falcons besides that. And the Braves, I think the Braves trend line's up a little. And let's see if we can get it up more. And hopefully they beat the Yankees today. All right, one more hour around the corner. How much are you willing to pay for a beer at a college football game? I'm just kind of curious about that. Lee and John's Creek, hang on. You're next, and we'll get your calls at 404-726-0929 with John Fricke on Sports Radio 92 on the game. Falcons to the Hawks here on this warm, warm, hot Sunday afternoon. From the Northern Kia Studios, John Fricke with you. We are a month tomorrow from the Falcons training camp. This week, boy, man, mercy, what a time it's been for the city of Atlanta, huh? Messi last Thursday, you had Caitlin Clark on Friday. You have, you know, the U.S. men's national team coming in for Copa on Thursday. The Hawks draft number one on Wednesday. Again, live coverage of the Hawks draft on Sports Radio 92 on the game Wednesday night. Mike Conley hosting. We'll see what they do with the number one pick. So let's just kind of, you know, break that down too, because this is our last chance, you and I, between now and two, to talk about it before the pick comes here. I think the Hawks will make a huge trade between now and Wednesday. Okay. I think the Hawks will make a big trade between now and the draft on Wednesday. And the reason I think so is because they have to win all three, right? The trade, they know this. I'm not saying anything that they're not fully aware of. They have to win the trade. They have to win the draft. Then they have to win in free agency by getting a quality player, most likely a potential starter, if not a really quality guy on the bench, but certainly maybe a starter in free agency, right? Okay, so, you know, if you make a trade, then you have an idea. Did you solve a problem with that trade that in any way alters your choices? In other words, do you make a trade that you get a wing out of that kind of fits where Zachary Risacher would be, and you go, well, you know what? You know, the Crypt Keeper goes up there and goes,
with the number one pick in the NBA draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Donovan Clingan, center, UConn.
I mean, is that out of the question? No, it's not out of the question. If you make a trade, and you trade DeJounte and Clint to somebody, and you get a wing that runs opposite, that can start opposite Jalen, and you have Trey, you're like, okay, well, do we really need to double up at that spot with Risashay? Unless you are absolutely convinced, 100 down the line, that 2 to 3 years from now, Zachary Risashay is going to grow into a superstar in the NBA. And he may. You may be looking at him and saying, look, this guy, you know, you can see the young players that are coming up that are going to turn into superstars, right? I mean, we can all see that, right? They start to develop, and you go, okay, that guy's going to be a star. You saw it with SGA. You see it now with Anthony Edwards. All right, so Ant-Man's going to be a star. All right, so they're the next wave, right? And so if you look at him and think, yes, he's going to be in that next wave after this, then you can't afford to pass him up. But the other reason you have to make a trade is not because it might alter who you take at number one, but also because it might alter your ability to attract a free agent by convincing them that you now have four pieces to a puzzle that they are the fifth piece from, because money should never be an issue here. And, you know, Tony Ressler has said, I will pay and go into the luxury tax when it's time. It's time. And so it's not a money issue. He has to go into the luxury tax. He's got to get the best guy out there. And if he can get his hands on him, that's the final piece to the puzzle of taking this team from 10 to 3, to 10 to contender, to 10 to legit. You cannot let the Orlando Magic continue to outplay you. It's Orlando. It's Mickey Mouse World. You're Atlanta. Okay? You can't allow Charlotte, no offense, Charlotte, you're a wonderful town. I get that. It's a nice city. You're Charlotte. We're Atlanta, okay? We are the big walking talking, okay? We are the big town. We're the big city. We are the big city of the South. We are the New York of the South, the LA of the South. We are the, this is it. You have to act and walk and talk and act like you are. Certain franchises do, the Atlanta Braves do, right? They walk and talk and act like they are the king of the South. The Atlanta Hawks have to walk into, they can't be swimming in the waters of the Charlotte Hornets and the Orlando Magic, the Memphis Grizzlies. No. No. The New Orleans Pelicans, no. These towns are not worthy of you. NFL's a different animal, okay? The NFL, because of its hard salary cap and the way the league is structured, you can't be, it doesn't matter. Look at how bad the bloody New York Giants and Jets have been for so long, right? I mean, it's just the NFL is a different animal. You have to kind of massage it and work around it. You got to get a little bit lucky. You got to get the right coach and the right scheme, and the things have to fit. You have to run it really. It's an operational thing. Less so in other sports that have a soft cap or, you know, basically no cap, as in the case of baseball. I mean, essentially no cap. But in basketball, it's a soft cap. Yeah, you have to pay a lot. Okay, I get that. So what? Tony Russell's worth what? $8 billion? More? $10 billion? Dude, so if you blew $1 billion, would you notice it? Seriously, if you blew $1 billion, would you notice it? The answer is probably not. You probably still got the plane. You still got the hottie wife who's actually pretty smart, you know? The actress wife. I mean, and she's, you know, a brainiac too. Matter of fact, I almost lean on her a little bit more than to him. I think Jamie's got it going. So, Jamie, I didn't mean that in any disrespect. You just happen to be attractive. That's all. And I'm a guy. But you know, if Jamie can convince Tony, hey, look, hey, time, you know, guys, let's go here. It's go time for the Atlanta Hawks. It is absolute green lights across the board. It's like sitting in the NASA control room before launch, you know.
Check, go, go.
Yeah, everything is go for launch, okay? There's no stand down, there's no stop down. It's, you know, and the launch countdown is on right now. And so you got to go. There's never been a better opportunity in the history of this franchise. Now, they've never won an NBA title. They've only been to the Eastern Conference Finals a couple, three times. I get that in the history of the Atlanta Hawks, not talking about St. Louis. But they've been to the playoffs an awful lot. Now, it's not that hard to get it to the NBA playoffs. I understand that. But we went through all those years, remember, because in different periods of time during the franchise, the Dominique years, we just kept running up, you know, that damn Game 7 against Larry Bird, where it was the mano a mano in the fourth quarter. If you've never seen, by the way, if you're a Hawks historian, you should almost YouTube that. Dominique versus Larry Bird, Game 7 NBA Finals, Bird versus Neek. Those two went at it. I don't know, Bird might have had 20 in the quarter and Neek 19 or something like that. Those two, it was a mano game. And boy, if we had just come out on top of that thing, man, life would have been different for us because that team would have won a ring. But we didn't. And then, of course, the 60-win team ran up against LeBron. Okay, at his height. All right, yeah, that was our luck. It was always our luck, right? But we had all those years with, you know, with the Josh Smith years, we'll call them, where there were 50 wins. There were a lot of 50-win teams. I mean, Mike Woodson, you know, had a couple of, he had a really bad team, obviously, when he inherited it, but he turned it into a pretty good team. And so, you know, a lot of 50-win seasons. But that was like they couldn't break through the threshold, right? So here's your opportunity to not only get back to that 50-win level, but to bust through the threshold. And what it's going to take is a commitment from everybody in the organization, top to bottom, from the players to the coaches to the owner, to commit to all this, which is going to take both savvy and money. And they've got to do it now, because this is the golden opportunity. Again, all lights green go. And if you don't do it now, and we're sitting here 2 weeks from now, and we go through another season of this, all I got for you is I'm going to be doing Hawks pre- and post-game shows, and I'm going to be saying stuff like, "Welp," and I don't want to say, "Welp, come on, help a guy out here. Help a brother out. Don't have the guy that's going to be out there going, "Welp," I want to hear Steve Holman say, "Bang," you know, I want to see that, okay? I don't want, "Welp," you know, I don't. I want to be going, "Oh my God, how about this?" You know, 404-726-0929 is the phone number. When was the last time you cheered for the, really, I mean, outright cheered for the Hawks? I mean, outright just went crazy. Well, of course, it was Trae Young, right? It was that dude bowing at center court at Madison Square Garden. It was that dude going into Game 7 with Kevin Huerter. We can talk all we want about the DeJounte trade. That Kevin Huerter trade? Yeah, how'd that work out for us? Yeah, okay. I think that one might have been more damaging. So anyway, that was the last time, right? And then all the way to stepping on the foot in Milwaukee, right? Because you remember early in the series, remember Giannis went down hard and he had the knee thing, and I was like, "Oh, that, you know, that sucks." And then I thought, "Well, do I really want to win if he's injured?" And that yeah, okay, I do, because we've had enough of it on our head where we lost because we said, "Okay, fine." But then he got back, you know. And even when he came back and was okay, and they're like, "Oh, thank God he's okay," up in Milwaukee, you know, still probably could have won the series. And I am convinced, now this is just me being me, being the bandwagon driver and the Kool-Aid boy, that if the Hawks had won that series against Milwaukee, they would have beaten Phoenix. And they would have been NBA world champions. And we wouldn't be sitting around here having all these people grovel in their breakfast cereal every Saturday and Sunday morning talking to me about how Trae Young is no good because he'd have a ring. It's like the people who say, you know, "Snicker, I don't care that he has a ring." Oh, okay. Isn't that the whole point of this thing? Is that you're supposed to, okay, you know. Isn't that what we hear from Swampers? "Yeah, it doesn't matter. We got a ring." And we're supposed to go, yeah. And then our people will say stuff like, "Yeah, we can't say nothing. They got a ring." But when we win a ring, "Oh, we can't say nothing even though we got a ring." I love all y'all. All right. So I'm looking at trend lines here. The trend lines on the Braves are ticking slightly up, which is a good thing. And knowing what Alex Anthopoulos does with his magic, and again, final game against the Yankees ahead of, this is going to be a weird week for the Braves. The trend line is, but it's not rocketing up. It's just slightly up. And we'll see what happens as we move forward here. Does it get, because there's still, I mean, did you see the bottom of the batting order? Go look yesterday if you didn't see it. And this is no offense to Laureano or Forrest Wall, but when you're playing those guys, it's like, come on. Now, understanding that I can't get mad at Alex Anthopoulos, there are a lot of buyers out there, and the teams that do have pieces that they want to sell are demanding premium money, and so you're trying to play a little waiting game and wait through this before you strike, and the trade deadline's not for two more months because it's a long season. It's just they are going to have to fight, and I know they will. They'll find a guy. Somebody said, "Well, what about, you know, going out and getting a Jock back here?" Okay, I really like Jock Peterson. He's having a fine year in Arizona. If that's who they want to get, sure, bring him back. I don't know that I'm putting a name on it. I'm saying I want a right fielder that can be that guy, you know, that's all. And I want a platoon, Duvall and Kelnick in left. That's what I would like to do. But in order to do that, you have to be able to get him at the right price here, because everybody's talking about a fifth starter here. Well, what about Hurston Waldrop? What about Spencer Schwalenbach? Because the one thing you don't want to do is make the mistake of trading for a guy just because you're in, you know, desiring something that's kind of down line. You know, I mean, the Tigers desperately wanted Doyle Alexander from the Braves back in the day, and Doyle was still a really, really good pitcher and really good starter. And the Braves said, well, okay, but we really covet this one guy you have in the minors. And the Tigers said, okay, because we really want Doyle. So they got Doyle, and Doyle was effective for the Tigers for a year or two, and all the Braves got was a Hall of Famer. Okay, they just got John Smoltz. That's all. So you got to be careful you're not giving up more than you're getting back, right? I mean, you never want to do that. So as a result, you know, Alex has got to play the game. It's just frustrating to have to go through. But the Braves trend line's up a little bit. I think the Falcons trend line is up, and in Flowery Branch, it's up higher than even I have. But I think it's up, and I think it's pushing even higher and higher as we get towards the season. I think the trend line continues to rise for the Atlanta Falcons. Trend line for the Atlanta Hawks is flat, okay, because they haven't done anything yet. We'll see what they do, but right now it's flat. It could trend up, it could trend way up, or there's a possibility that in 10 days it could trend down, and it trends down by not being able to make a trade, and all you do is just say, okay, we'll take the number one pick in a soft draft and call it good. Yeah, and that's going to be a downtrend because – you know what, guys? You can't waste this opportunity, right? You cannot do that. So Hawks flat, Falcons up to starting to really, really rise up. My brain went to the whole thing, this whole thing about we need a new catchphrase for the Falcons. Besides that, and the Braves, I think the Braves trend line's up a little. Let's see if we can get it up more. Hopefully, they beat the Yankees today. All right, one more hour. Around the corner, how much are you willing to pay for a beer at a college football game? I'm just kind of curious about that. Lee and John's Creek, hang on. You're next, and we'll get your calls at 404-726-0929 with John Fricke on Sports Radio 92 on the game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.